Now, this is an amazing story. It's about, from the Tribune Review out of Pennsylvania. It says, Smock woman says visions of demons rising made her kill. Could it be the demons? Could it be where the voices come from? Voice to skull, a voice within the person? Here's what it says concerning the Pennsylvania woman. She told the judge she had hallucinations of Jesus and demons before she fatally stabbed her mother. Quote, I saw visions of hell and visions of demons rising, testified Angela. She's 32, during a plea hearing on Wednesday. She says again, quote, I heard voices in my head. It kept getting louder and louder. She testified that she believed that if she and others around her did not die that night, they wouldn't have a happy eternity. So listen now, this means that the voices in her head were reasoning with her. Now, either we have voice-to-skull technology, or we have demonic activity, or we have created sub-personalities, alter personalities. Now, I think that when we get down to this, because it says here that she was diagnosed and has a history of mental illness, schizophrenia. A lot of multiples, those with DID in the 70s, 80s, they were at first termed or diagnosed as schizophrenic. But as the reality of a multiple personality disorder came out by the hundreds of thousands and then in the 90s by the millions, well, of course, the DSM-3, the DSM-4, the diagnostic manuals for, well, psychiatry, psychologists, they came out with the definitions and the diagnosis, conditions and some treatment models. We've been dealing in this area for a long time, and if you've been listening to me, you know that we have worked in this area for a very, very long time. But there's a woman here out of Pennsylvania where we've been 50 other times to work with individuals who have both subpersonalities and demonization, thus satanic ritual abuses involved. Here's what she says, quote, she recalled going to her mother's bedroom to kiss the woman goodnight. Then it says this, quote, I don't remember stabbing my mother. I just remember my brother trying to get the weapon off me. Now, see, this is something that we have seen again and again and again. We have seen where a sub-personality can surface. The main person is out of consciousness, and the sub-personality can do all kinds of things. They can rape, they can kill. It depends on what they've been trained to do. It depends on what they are. Sub-personalities can be demonized. They can be programmed to be priestesses in a satanic ritual, or they can be programmed to be an assassin, or they can be, they can be a sub-personality that formed while the individual earlier in life was also abused and harmed and hurt and unhealed. That inside sub-personality could have a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, and a switch can occur. Now, since I'm not involved in the case, I can't give diagnosis, but I'm just simply reading from the friend, Sue, a journalist that sent this article to me. And the journalist friend notes to me that this is in Pennsylvania, again, as we said, many, many thousands of cases of satanic ritual abuse, multiple personality disorder, or DID as they call it now. And it's also near the location of Nemacol in Woodlands, where others and many others have said the Brotherhood, a sect in ancient caves, are frequently used for various activities. Again, the voices in her head. This is happening all over the world, all over Europe, all over America. Voices in the head. Now, it can be the technology issues. We can look into that and, directed technology that sends voice to skull, and that's a possibility. A lot of money, a lot of time. That almost all the cases we've ever dealt with deals with both sub-personalities and or demonic presence. Can demons inside say to a person, kill, 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 and do whatever? Absolutely. They can say commit suicide. They can say a lot of things. And they can convince a person that if they don't do certain things, that they, you know, they won't go to heaven. You know, we've dealt with this many times before. Individuals that have, one individual that said that through telepathy, psychic communication, a presence was talking to them. They were saying it was God. It wasn't God, because the communication was that they weren't permitted to do certain things. They endangered their life, and they had to do it. Otherwise, they definitely would go to hell. Now, this is very important. Because in this week, we're talking about the spirit of Antichrist, and I get this email on Thursday, August 26th, and it brings in this issue of, again, the multiplicity of hundreds of thousands of spirits and all the activity, all the supernatural activity that's going on. I give the quote again concerning the woman. I heard voices in my head. It kept getting louder and louder. Let me ask you a question. How do you know clearly that that wasn't God, the Holy Spirit, speaking inside of her? Was it a demonic presence or was it subpersonality? That's what we're going to look in tonight. And it's Friday, August the 27th, 2010. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Listen, welcome everybody. Listen, we're ready for another 1 hour of God's providence. I love it because there is a supernaturalism that is absolutely experientially taking over everything. People are in all parts of the world are into engagement with the supernatural. That can be, well, UFOs and aliens and all that included. It's something, it's supra above the physics of man. And when I say supernatural, that's what I really mean. Even God's miracles, there's physics behind it, God's physics. They are just way beyond us. And though we can learn some things, well, let me tell you something. You and I are finite and we are limited, and a finite being just cannot know the totality of the infinite mind and being and will of God. The great theologian philosopher Francis Schaeffer said, we can know God truly, but we cannot know God exhaustively. You'd have to be infinite with no beginning and no end, and infinite and immeasurable, and infinite in knowledge, and infinite in understanding, and infinite in every way, to be able to know God equally, and there is simply no equal. Including the spirits, including the fallen spirit, the cherub, Satan himself. There is no equal. We are dealing with powerful entities out there, an array, a collective of hundreds of millions, fallen angels, demons, but collectively together, including Satan himself, they cannot add up to infinity. Just simply in the vast array, you have finite presence. And that's the difference between the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of God, as far as core being. All the demons, all the fallen angels, all of that array, principalities, powers, the forces in the heavenly realms that are wicked, as God calls it. Well, they are all, including the fallen cherub, Satan himself, all absolutely finite. Now, that spiritual world is beyond more advanced, obviously, than humanity. And they're able to manipulate and do it, and again, depending on the nature. Now, there is a vast, vast difference, and we've been saying all this week in the series that we're talking about. And by the way, here is the theme for the week. Quote, we must know the difference. The spirit of Christ or the spirit of Antichrist. Now that's on the webpage, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. And listen, welcome if you're brand new to this show. Welcome, Brent, to all those who are new to this voice. My name is Russ Dizdar, and you can find all of the information there on the website, all the background, all of what we're about. And it's a very busy website, so please take your time. And there's hundreds and hundreds of downloads of MP3s. And we have weekend downloads and courses and training courses. A series called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers has now got over 12, I think about 12 hours of MP3s and continues to grow. There's a course called Confronting the Powers, Theocentric Counseling, and others that are absolutely free now. And so we just offer them to you. We have no products, per se, to have commercials and things like that. We don't have commercials during this show. But if you are interested, and if all of the work of Shatter is a benefit to you, and if you've looked over our site, if you're interested in helping, and some of you've written, you're interested. Because there's hundreds of thousands of downloads, well over 1,500,000 downloads of all these MP3s. Well, they're going to be downloaded in over 80 countries of the world. And again, for those who are into the archives, want to say welcome and blessings to you from every one of these nations and places. The Spirit of God is behind the motivation for me being here. It is the love of God. And I simply always say three things. God loves you. No one loves you more. God knows you. Nobody knows you more. And God wants you, and nobody wants you more. That is the biblical truth. That is the heart of God. That is seen in the person of Christ. If you're interested in helping the work of Shatter, then you simply can go to shatterthedarkness.net. You can see the little microphone, and it says near that you can help sponsor this work. And we appreciate all those who have been coming on board, and we are trying to cover all of the work. So God bless you and your considerations, and that's all we're going to say. We are on a Friday. It's kind of a really interesting thing. And, you know, people have sent me today birthday notices. Yep, it's my birthday. And here we're getting another year older. I'm looking at the world around me. I'm seeing the impending dangers and the things that are coming this way. It's because of what really is going on. And the vital concerns and the feeling in the air. I mean, listen, billions are feeling it. Catastrophe is coming. And it's plotted by the dark side, revealed by God in biblical prophecy. So heads up, redemptive, preemptive insight comes from biblical revelation, biblical prophetic insight. Well, it's the cutting edge, infallible, accurate, and telling us exactly what the dark side is and what it is doing in all the events that are coming. And they are unprecedented. Events that have never occurred in human history are about to be unleashed. The unprecedented number of dark spirits operative in the world right now, today. Well, let me tell you something. That is also unprecedented, and God has spoken about that 2,000 years ago in prophecy. The Spirit of God himself has given us the insight. So we are on this week dealing with giving definition to the supernaturalism out there, the spiritual engagements that people are in, because there's events and experiences and voices and dreams and visions and miracles and miraculous things going on everywhere. And so it's vital that we understand what is coming from south of heaven and what is coming from north of hell. I mean, what comes from the hand of God? What comes from the hand of the devil? What comes from the Spirit of God? And what comes from the spirits, the demons, the fallen angels? On the one side, there's this clarity of God constantly revealing, I want to make everything known. I'm showing you everything. I'm coming to you. I'm pursuing you. We're reading in the Bible where the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says of itself, it is the word of truth. The Greek word halathia means, again, that absolute truth, honesty, purity. Reality is also used in the translation of that term. But bottom line, truth. And there is, in the world we live in, a massive, lie. Jesus said concerning the devil, he's the father of lies. And I think that every psychic and every New Ager and every occultist and even a Satanist, I think everyone who's a spiritual seeker should understand that there are spiritual counterfeits. There is a spiritual lie out there. There is a massive array of spiritual, spirits unleashing. And God has given definition to this. God has given preemptive insight to what they will be doing. They will bring, as they are now and even more so, counterfeit false, but they're counterfeit to the real. Signs, wonders, miracles, doctrines, teachings, experiences, feelings, energies, powers, non-human enhancements. They can bring counterfeit to all that God has done. Miracles, all these things. And the issue is then, how do you know the difference? And so for all of this week, and we are now on the sixth part of this series, we're giving a definition to all of this. And the theme, let me say it again, we must know the difference, K-N-O-W. That comes again from the teaching of 1 John chapter 4, when the Spirit of God himself says, this is how we can know or recognize. Well, the difference between the spirit of error, spirit of truth. And the Greek word gnosko means an experiential, I know that I know that I know whether something's coming from the Spirit of God or whether something's coming from the spirit of Antichrist. Now, we've given a lot of time, 5 one-hour sessions to the development of the defining, exposing, and showing the evidences of the spirit of Antichrist. Let me tell you also on our site, we have, if you look over on the right-hand side, you'll see a little man with a magnifying glass. You click on that, and it will talk about theology for the third millennium. It's ESP, that is extrasensory perception, or Holy Spirit perception. It's an ongoing series, and I think that there are about 6 or 7 one-hour training sessions dealing with discernment. And how do you discern the difference, even when it comes to all, and here's for our believers, all the charismatic gifts of the Bible speaks about, they are all counterfeited by the dark side. And a counterfeit, you know, counterfeit like an angel showing up. The Bible even says Satan is able to masquerade like, to look like, to appear like an angel, bright, a translucent, beautiful angel. So the power of deception originates with them, it's their nature. And they are going to do that because they're not going to come right out and say, we are fallen angels, we hate God, we're going to take you to hell. That's not how it's going to come. They're going to come in a variety of ways, the many faces of demonic masquerade. So the question is, if you're into spirituality and you've got spiritual supernatural things occurring, what's the source? And how do you know it's not the spirit of Antichrist or just, again, dark spirits drawing you in? So now, after 5 hours this week of giving definition to the, the spirit of error, the agenda, the methodologies, the how that spirit and present operates in and through people to deceive people in a cult or a sect or in, just... Even like this woman that stabbed and killed her mother. I mean, for me, it's already automatically evident. God, the Holy Spirit, would never, never lead anybody to do that. God, the Holy Spirit, would never, never be raising his voice inside the head of a person saying that unless you do this, you're not going to spend eternity, not going to go well for you. So we have outlined this week that when spirits are speaking, if the content of what they're saying, the doctrine, the didache, the teaching, if it's contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the character of Christ, well, you know instantly it is not coming from God. We dealt with Wednesday the spirit of Antichrist's replacements, the counterfeits, and the ultimate one. And again, millions, are, if not billions now, understand that some kind of world leader. Some look at it as a Mahdi, others Maitreya, others world teacher, others just a political, you know, someone to help save the world. And the Bible predicts, because of the conditions of the world, that I believe Satan himself causes the Antichrist. If you're not familiar with this, 1 John, in the Bible, 1 John chapter 2. And we're told there very clearly by God, this is how we know, K-N-O-W, gnosko, the Greek word. This is how we experientially know that we know that we know that we know. This is how we know that it is the last hour. Again, there's this revelation of God, the last hour of human history. How do you know that? Well, because many antichrists, individuals are going out there portraying themselves as a Christ. And then the antichrist, the one that's going to bring new world order and rule and so forth, literally homo satanas, Satan in human skin. He is coming. In my opinion, he's already been born, but according to 2 Thessalonians 2, the apocalypse, that is the unveiling of what is already there, has not yet occurred, but it may occur shortly. We don't know how long. Underground Luciferians, brotherhooders, they're all believing in and working for that supernatural leader they believe is a light being, serpentine light, and they believe that he will win. Everything in biblical prophecy shows us that he constantly loses and will horrifically lose along with all those who join him. So we're in the middle of trying to figure out the difference. Moms and dads and all of us, when it comes to voices, when it comes to being invited to little group meetings here or there and these spiritual things go on and somebody speaks in other languages or somebody has a miracle or somebody begins to be in a trance or they lay hands on you and you go into a trance or some visitation occurs, something happens. People can lay their hands on the heads of the crystal skulls and get spiritual engagement. Well, where's it coming from? And again, we have kind of outlined all this week the 5 hours of that. And so right now what we want to do is we want to give 7 revelations on the work of God the Holy Spirit. Because the whole issue this week is, how do you know it's the spirit of Antichrist operating? Or is it the spirit of God operating? Now, that's what we're going to look into here on, August the 27th, 2010, when, hey, this speaker has gotten a year older. Number one, let's talk about in the beginning, God created. Bara, by special act, God created. But it was the Spirit of God that moved on all of that. It's the picture of God laying out the material. And again, we read in John's Gospel chapter 1. We can read in Colossians chapter 1. We can read in Hebrews chapter 1. We have the eternal God the Son, Christ, creating. And I'm not going to spend long going into the concept of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, absolute, inseparable oneness, unity, yet plurality. God is immense. And God is infinite. And God is immeasurable. And listen. In this, we see God in the totality of his being in involved in the special act of creation. And it's the Spirit of God's function in this act of creation to begin to shape and put everything in shape. And so there is this incredible work this tells you that the universe is smaller than God the Holy Spirit. You're talking about the, and I'll say this later, infinite presence. Now, I want you to hear me clearly when I say that all the old theologians called it ex nihilo. Out of nothing, God created something. Well, I want to say that that's not a correct understanding of ex nihilo. Ex nihilo means out of no pre-existent independent material. It's not as though God looked at them and said, oh, look, I see some rocks and some planets and I see some stars, so I'm going to take those and I'm going to form them. That's not how it occurs at all. Out of no pre-existent independent material, no other material existence out there, not out of nothing comes something, out of God. Out of God comes something. Immaterial God, and again, I don't think that CERN, the super collider, is going to be able to pull God's finger into the super collider, the Atlas, and shave off a piece and kind of find the God particle and say, hey, we captured God, like you capture animals. Not going to happen. Once again, individuals that do not understand the infinite nature of God, the independent, transcendent nature, yet God is right here. I know him. He lives in me. And if you don't know him, I want you to know that he's knowable. God in all of his power, grace, might, infinite present, omniscience, omnipresence, well, omnipotence, omni-relationship. God is relational. Out of this relational being, personal being, comes creation. If there's no creation, where does God put mankind that is to bear the image of God? So understand, the universe, all that is created, billions and billions of planets, and then our solar system, and then our sun, and our planetary system, and then our Earth that is designed. Oh, well, talk about intelligent design. I'm breathing air. You're breathing air. You've got ears to hear. You've got a mind that is thinking through things and listening to this voice. You, if you've been listening to us for a month, 2 months, a year, you even recognize this voice. Overwhelmingly, 99.9% of you have never seen my face, probably, unless you saw a picture somewhere. Now, I'm going to see some of you down in Las Vegas on this Friday and on the Saturday, and then later on in Canton, Ohio, with the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference coming up. Tom Horn's going to be there. But under point number one, the Spirit of God is involved in the special act, majestic act of creation. And then God breathed into us the breath of life. And the Spirit of God's presence brought us literally to life to be a living soul, a living being, imago Dei, to bear the image of God. And if you read Job, you're going to find out the angels of God, man, they just unleashed in praise and exaltation at the creation of Adam, humankind, male and female. You, dear friend, created by God in special act, by the operating presence of the Holy Spirit. In the fall of the human race, something happened. Not only did we chuck God and his word and believe another teaching, a lie, and the entity that brought it, we sinned. That means the effects of that is that the Spirit of God withdrawn. Our human spirit went dead to God, and something came in us, and that is this fallen nature. That is what leads people to do what they do and opens the door for even more horrific work of demons and the work of Satan, leading individuals, like this woman maybe, to stab and murder and kill her own mother. I mean, that's the issue. All of us know that we've lied, we've sinned, we felt guilty. We know there's a moral construct to us, but yet there's this drive within. Some listening to me right now, you know you've got things going on in your life you can't seem to stop. That's where addictions, that means repeated acts of these sin issues go on and on and on till they really get a stronghold. They become more empowered. And then even, well, that can open the door, a topon, the Bible says, for the dark side to grip us. Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ, deliverer. I mean, listen, let me say it now before I even get to the end. Savior and deliverer. And when we receive Christ, guess what happens? The same Spirit of God involved in the formation and shaping of creation itself, including us, comes into us at the moment of salvation, thus uniting us in an inseparable, unbroken, immediate, personal relationship that is willed by God to last forever. And that deposit of the Spirit of God in us, well, let me tell you, would you rather have God, the Holy Spirit, the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God in you, on you, guiding you, leading you, unveiling the depths of God to you, and one day when Christ returns, the physics of God in the exertion of the power of the Holy Spirit, well, you read about it, 1 Corinthians 15, a glorification, instantaneous, moving from mortality to immortality. Well, it's the physics of God, but it's done by the exertion of the Holy Spirit. So let me tell you something. Whatever your background, listen, you can be involved in all kinds of spiritual things. And yes, they're real. You can be involved in spirits giving you human enhancement. Yes, that can happen. You can have powers in you. You could be a high-level Satanist with powered demons, hundreds of them in you. You could be possessed. You can be. All these things are real, deadly, lethal, and will drag you to hell. They're all intended to keep you from God, whereas the Spirit of God seeks to bring you to God, point you to Christ, and bring the liberation that will cultivate, in what I've just said, glorification. Indestructible immortality with eyes that can and will see God face to face. Oh, you can read about that in the book of Revelation, the very end. So number one, the introduction of God the Holy Spirit is right there in the first chapter. All through the Old Testament, we see the power of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God moving on people, how Israel and others would grieve or vex the Holy Spirit of God. We see the Spirit of God moving on servants of God. And we see the Spirit of God involved in the prophetic and dreams and visions and miracles and countering the work of the embedded supernatural dark spirits that were operating among the tribes all the way, listen, from the fall of the human race, supernatural dark presence came in. The head of all of that is called the God, small g, the God of this eon, this world, this time period. That he's out to blind the minds of unbelievers, those who don't know Jesus yet, to keep them from ever seeing. Maybe you're listening. And I'm going to tell you right now, the dark side wants to blind you, blanket your perception so that you can't see who he is. You read 2 Corinthians 4:4 once. Just read it. Go ahead. You say, well, I'm not a Bible person. Why not? What keeps you away from the Bible? How could it be that you're into every kind of other thing, but when it comes to the most supernatural book, whose author is in and on and with and comes through the very words, what keeps you from it? Someone said one time, sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. And that's a general truth. But I guarantee you that supernatural dark presence, as it layers individuals more and more as they open up to things, they'll keep you further and further and further away. Most underground Satanists know they're not allowed to even touch it. Bottom line, point number one, the Spirit of God, there's the introduction. Number two, all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, who is the Spirit of God? Obviously, when we come to Acts chapter 5, it is clear in a man named Peter, he's Spirit-filled, and we have Satan entering into two people that decided to conspire and test the durability of the church. And they were led in their agreement to lie. And Peter says, guided by the Spirit of God, you've not lied to men, to anything human. You've lied to God in reference to the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to say clearly that everything the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit points to the attributes. He is uncreated. He is eternal. He holds all the attributes of what we would look at in the Bible as attributes of God, just as Christ did. And he's called this pointed to as God. So let's mention the deity of the Spirit of God. Every believer out there that has the Spirit of God indwelling them knows that you become a temple of God, that God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. And so it's very important that we realize from the outset that if you're not yet a believer in Christ, that it is God, the Holy Spirit, speaking out to you, summoning you, trying to convince you, trying to draw you. What he wants to do is clear. Show you Jesus Christ. Give you and empower you with the ability to open up to him and turn to him and find, well, the truth and the supernatural miracle that will change your life forever. For, and when I say forever, I mean forever. Point number three, the personality of the Spirit of God. It's very important, especially as new believers, we do not call the Holy Spirit it. And you're going to find many times, and it's kind of interesting when you read the book of Daniel, you're going to see individuals that worship demon gods, demon spirits, gods and goddesses, and but yet they know that Daniel, and they say it this way, Daniel has the spirit of the holy gods in him. Because all they understood was the plural, you know, polytheism and many. So they don't know the experience, they don't have the correct, but their observation of an individual the Spirit of God is upon and operating in, Daniel, they can tell the difference. I have found this true with occultists and others, especially demonized, empowered Satanists. The demons know whether you are a real believer or not. Did you know that? They're able to perceive instantly. For example, if they're in an area, a place manifested on the side because of doorways opened, and you walk into a ritual area or into a home or somewhere where there's demons, they know whether you are born of the Spirit of God, whether Christ is in you. They know instantly. Whether it's a seeable thing, some have told me that it's seeable. I mean, some possessed people said that the inside of them with the demon empowerment could see an incredible brightness and know that it was Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, living within us. It's clear in the book of Acts, a demonized individual said to some people that were, well, they were occultists trying to use Jesus' name as a charm, but they weren't believers. They didn't have a right to use his name. And so the demon says, hey, Jesus we know, and Paul, referring to the one that got saved, indwelt by the Spirit of God, the demons say, we know them, but who are you? They didn't know those that did not have the Spirit of God. So I don't care. You could be a psychic. You could be a remote viewer. You could be a New Ager. You can be a person engaging the aliens, whatever. Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? I'm talking about God, the Holy Spirit. And there's experience. And for those who know the Lord, for those who have received Christ, you know the Spirit of God comes in. And that's the evidence of someone really being a believer. It doesn't make you perfect all of a sudden. Matter of fact, the Spirit of God in the believer, whoever you are, whatever nation, whatever land, whatever place in the world, if you've believed on the living Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit's given to you, and the Spirit of God's job function is from the inside out to shape you and lead you to begin to bear the image of God again, to bear the likeness to Christ. He's the power, we'll talk about that in a moment, for living and enabling you to live for and a Christ likeness. So point number three, the Holy Spirit is not it. The Holy Spirit is, the pronouns are used, he, the Holy Spirit, he, the Spirit of truth, he, with mind, will, emotion, because he can be grieved. When a Christian sins, backslides, you grieve the Holy Spirit who's in you. And the word means to make sorrowful. So understand, if you're a believer, you are a temple. Greek word, naos. You are a sacred place. For the Spirit of the living God to dwell within you. See, the moment of being saved, your human spirit is made instantaneously alive to God by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said to a religious leader that didn't know, again, you could be religious and spiritual and not know any of this. I've read many individuals. I'm reading some materials from Sylvia Brown. I read all of the remote viewers I possibly can, and I see a complete absence from any personal, experiential knowing of the person of Jesus, their love for Jesus, a testimony of Christ in them, of the Holy Spirit. There's no experience there. You can't have dark spirits operating, giving you powers and works, or even indwelling you, and at the same time have the living Christ and the Holy Spirit fully, you know, living in and through you. Christians can have demons operating and working against you and even get oppression and what we call attachments. But it is those who are not born of the Spirit of God in Christ that can get totally, well, the Greek word diamonizoi and the idea of possession, total control. And we've been on radio shows for a couple of years now, and we have individuals that we've dealt with and met with at later times. Well, they've told us, you know, Russ, when you were speaking or when you mentioned Christ or the presence of the Spirit of God was coming through, the demons in me threw me to the ground, or they shut off the radio, or they made me fall asleep or put me out. That's the conflict that goes on. That's why we put a prayer in advance. And our prayers are for you. Because God didn't send Christ into the world to condemn you. You ever read John 3:17? God sent Christ into the world not to condemn, but to save you, to come to you, to bring you out of the power of sin, the guilt of sin, the consequences of it, out of the dark power's allowability in your life. And it is when Jesus comes in that everything changes. Everything. Let me give you number four. And I mentioned this already, but I want to make it distinct. The Spirit of God is uncreated. All fallen angels, all demons, including Satan himself, who was once the anointed cherub, Ezekiel 28, they all have a beginning. They all have a beginning. They are all finite, no matter how powerful they are. And I will say, in comparison to humanity, Satan and demons collected together, territorial spirits, they are powerful. And we're going to see later on when the false prophet arrives in the world that massive miracles, even a counterfeit resurrection of the Antichrist will occur. Incredible miracles will occur, but they are used for one purpose: to deceive people and line them up with the Antichrist and use them in the end. And they will lose their lives. So I'm saying in the beginning here, and I say this throughout a lot of my, to give a distinction. See, I've been involved in the 60s with spirits and spiritual power, being spiritual, all those kind of things. I've told you that. But there is clearly a difference between the spirits and all that supernaturalism and God, the uncreated, always God, infinite, immeasurable, Holy Spirit of God. You know, it's interesting. The Bible gives definitive, he's the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit. There is, Satan's never called that. No fallen angel or demons called that. Distinct to the Spirit of God is the terminology Holy Spirit. And only when we receive Christ, the blood of Jesus totally cleanses us, can the Holy Spirit come in. So that's the barrier. See, you might be living with the barrier intact, and that's why you don't know God. You don't have anything to, you don't have anything to say. You can't talk about God. You can talk about, you know, other experiences, the visitations, voices in your head. You can talk about a lot of things if you're into spirituality. You can even talk about some things that seem good, but you know very clearly that it hasn't led you to God. I was out evangelizing one night with some of the team, walked into a bar, and there was a woman sitting there that was a psychic reader. She had her table, black cloth, and all the stuff there, tarot cards, all this kind of stuff. So I go up to her, and I sit down, and I begin to talk to her. And no, I didn't have anything done to read, anything, whatever, and I was praying for the Spirit of God to give me insight, and I asked her how she got involved. I asked her, you know, about the powers and about the supernatural. She clearly has some activity, non-human enhancements going on. And I asked her, when did it start or where did it come from? She says, you know what, it came down from my grandmother. She had it. And I knew that I began to have it, and so I gave in to it, and I have been operating with it. And I said, well, can I ask you a question? Is it from God or not? And she looked at me, and I saw the fear, but I also saw the avoidance. She wanted to avoid answering it. She says, you know, I don't believe it's from God. I believe and I fear that it's from the dark side. It was then that we shared the gospel. It was then that we shared Christ and came back and gave her literature and things to read, materials. Where are you at? Where are you when it comes to supernatural presence, the spirituality? It's either south of heaven, operating presence of the dark side, even when it masquerades like light and counterfeits. How do you know the difference? Well, one way, it never leads you to the real Christ. It never leads you to know God. It only brings preoccupation and makes you think that you're getting something, wow, high and elitist, and that you're, you know. And that's exactly the methodology of Genesis 3 when Satan himself tried to convince humanity, hey, God's unfair. He's not giving you the right stuff. And if you listen to me, I'll evolve you to deity. You'll be just like God. Secret knowledge will come to you. You'll know. Did we? No. We instantly were cut off. The Spirit of God left. Our spirit went dead to God. And legal rights to the dark side came in. If you're not saved, in you is a sin nature, and there's legal rights. Now listen, if you're a researcher, don't tune this out. Look at Romans chapter 8. Read it. If you're honest, read it and see the definition and what circle you're in. Either the operating function of a sin nature, an operative code that is directly connected to the fallen cherub. Ephesians 2 talks about the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That is, those who do not have the Spirit of God. He's able to bring, influence and worse yet, open people up. And that's what's happening all around us. So I wanted to say today that the Spirit of God, the uncreated Spirit of God, infinite, if you are a believer in Jesus, he has come inside of you, he's with you, he's there as your counselor and teacher. We're going to get into a lot of that in a moment. Let me give you number 5 as we've got about 10 minutes left here. The Holy Spirit before you get saved. Now, this is, again, you see it in the Gospel of John. And when you read through chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, you'll get a massive education about God the Holy Spirit. He's out right now in the world to convince and convict the world of sin. Three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. A sin, yes. because of the unbelief and our rejection. And he's there to bring us out of that. Sin righteousness, because in our own selves, we know we're not righteous. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. You read Romans 3. And only Christ, look at him, the sinless one. He's called the righteous one. And he lived that out, even though he was tempted and pushed and mistreated and beaten, because he's God, but he's also man. And he's God in human flesh. And he's living for us to beat the power of sin. He never gives in. He goes to the cross sinless. He becomes the sin bearer. He has the power to crush sin from beginning to end. John the Baptist, one of the greatest, most holy men ever, when first seeing Jesus walk up, cries out, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus forgives, takes away, sets you free, comes in with power to give you the ability to live awesomely, right? Righteousness. So the Spirit of God, before a person comes to Christ, is on the outside. The Spirit of God is, as we read in, again, those chapters I mentioned in John's Gospel, he is the great witness. Jesus said to disciples like you and I, who are believers, you must witness, but he, God the Holy Spirit, will also witness. There is a worldwide supernatural witness going on, God the Holy Spirit, in every culture, every place, through believers. That's what it means to be clothed with the power of the Spirit. We're to have power so we can be Christ's witness. And when you know Jesus and the Spirit of God is in you and you're filled with the Spirit of God, well, man, you are a witness for Christ. You have things to talk about. And so prior to, the good news is this, and if you're listening to this, and maybe you're listening to the archives, maybe somebody sent it to you, and you don't yet know Christ, but you feel something drawing you in that direction. The Holy Spirit of God summons you, come to Christ. The Holy Spirit of God seeks to convince you and draw you and to open your eyes to the Savior, may it be today, and all the Spirit of God calls you to do, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as Savior and Lord into your life. And then the moment you do believe on the living Christ and receive him, the Spirit of God will come into your life. You will be born again, born of God. You can read about this exchange in Ephesians chapter 1. That having heard this gospel, the gospel of truth, hearing the message, then when you believe, guess what happens? The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes inside. So if you're not a believer in Jesus, I want you to know right now, the Spirit of God in me motivates me. I want you. Yes, I do. I want you. I'm not going to be afraid to tell you. I want you to know God, to feel God's love, to know, to be born of the Spirit, to be saved. God wants you. Matter of fact, in the Bible, you know what it says? Have you read this? That God is not willing that even one human being be lost. And the Bible also says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's what it says now. Listen, referring to those that end up going to hell. Here's what it says. They perish because they refused to love the truth, to love Christ, turn to him. And so be saved. They could have been. Maybe you're listening and you know that you've been to church. You had somebody witness to you. You got somebody that's told you. You got somebody that's... And you could have been saved years ago. You're on your last leg, per se. And yet here you feel the grace and the mercy of God saying, I don't want you to be lost. Come home. Come to Christ. Receive my gift and be saved. Point number 6 is simply this. That God the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation floods into your life. Your human spirit. Listen, cleansing of sin, forgiveness of sin, breaking the control and power of sin, cutting off the chains Satan had rights to in your life, cutting off the rights hell would say that it would have to you, death, separation from all of that is ended. Because now the living Christ, by the power of the Spirit of God, has come into you. And you are now indwelt by the living, real living Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is inside of you. In Romans 8, it says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. He's called the Spirit of Christ. And you now, as a believer, are a temple. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That is natural. That is normal. We were created for this. We were not created for demons, fallen angels, for Satan. That is like a big splinter in your skin. You know what it is to get a big old fat splinter into your skin? It's not meant. It's not, you know, it can get in there, but it's not meant. If you're involved with the dark powers, just simply right now renounce them in the name of Jesus. I pray for you to be freed from the dark powers. Lord Jesus, deliver them and come out of it and believe on the name of the living Christ. Let the Spirit of God come into you. And once, and let me give you number 7 here because we're running out of time. And once you come to believe on Christ and the Spirit of God has come in, let me just say a few things. In all the teaching of the New Testament, and a great unveiling of this teaching comes from Romans chapter 8, that you are now indwelt by the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, not the spirit of fear and bondage, but the Spirit of God of adoption dwelling within you, whereby He enables you to cry out, Abba, Father, an intimate, instant, inseparable, personal relationship. You can say, Father, God is my Father. God, Jesus is my Savior. And you know Him. It's all about, I mean, all this power and giftings and workings of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit's inside of you to open up all the Word of God to you. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you. Signs, wonders, miracles, charismatic giftings can all come and work through you. In a personal relationship with the living Christ. We have literally run out of time here today. And I just want you to realize that God, the Holy Spirit, and then in the world that we're living into, the counterfeit, which do you have? What could you have right now? Come to Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, will come in. And Jesus can deliver you from all the other lies and junk. And obviously, I've seen it happen so many times. Great gratitude when a person comes to Christ out of the darkness into the real light of God. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Keep us in your prayers. We'll be back next week from Las Vegas, ready for the conference in October. With Tom Horn, by the way, Derek and Sharon Gilbert and Jeffrey Radd. Remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. God bless you. Good night.